he and I have not talked about this at all, and I just showed her the title of my message. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. I'm going to try to minister for a few moments and possibly get us into a place that we understand something, and then call us to an action so that we walk in this place. Amen? And we take a step further in God. That's what we all need. If you have come to the place that you have this all figured out, and you know everything that there is to know about spirituality and walking with God, see Brother Wilson after service, and he'll help you. See, why did you say it to him? Because he's my elder. He's walked with God longer than anybody in this place. And he doesn't have it all figured out. And he's been through things that some of you would have committed suicide if you'd have went through what he went through. And he didn't. And so just see him. If you got it all figured out, you know everything, just see Brother Wilson after church. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. John said, I, John, who also am your brother, now watch, and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The isle that is called Patmos. A couple of years ago when we were having a church outing to Knoebels Grove on a Saturday, I had tried to reach out to a missionary a few days before, and he was calling me about something. And he called me, and he told me, he said, I'm sorry, the service was terrible. He said, we are... my brother-in-law and I are on the Isle of Patmos. And I thought, isn't that neat? And he was serious. It lies off the eastern or the western coast of Turkey and then off of Greece as well from the other direction. It's still there. It didn't go away. It didn't sink. It's a rocky place without a lot of trees. There are some trees. There is a city there, or a small city, very small. But in the time of John, there was evidently, it was a lot like Alcatraz was for us. The Roman government would actually use islands such as this to put their worst prisoners on because they had a built-in fence. It was called water and sharks. And, you know, the guards were sharks. Well, the fence was water, and you really didn't have to worry about them. If they escaped, well, so be it. The sharks got fed, and you kept your guards in place. So they exiled John there. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. This is the beloved disciple, the one loved of Jesus more than the others, it seems. Really? It seems. Even Peter recognized. They're sitting around the table, the Last Supper, and Jesus has made a statement, and it's the one that's going to betray me. He's going to dip in the... He's sitting here, and Peter says, ask him. He said to John, ask him who it is. Why didn't Peter ask? Peter knew who could get that answer. And John, the one that has his head on the breast of Jesus at that Last Supper, John that is closer than any other, John that is really feeling his heartbeat, John that is... the beloved, John that writes about his deity more than any other. He has a different revelation of Jesus totally than any of the others do. When he writes, his writing is different than Matthew's. It's different than Mark's. It's different than Luke's. He writes about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and those kind of things. He writes about, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. He writes, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. He writes things that none of the others write. He's closer. He has greater revelation. And he is on the Isle of Patmos. He has been exiled from humanity, from society. He has been placed out there with the dregs of society, if you will. And possibly not. Sometimes the Roman Empire didn't put the dregs of society out there. They just put people out there that disagreed with them. You know, we wouldn't do that, surely. I'm talking about our government. I'm talking about individuals. We surely wouldn't hate someone that's different than us. Would? No, that's not us. Your brother and companion, he said, in tribulation. Surely, if there's one human being on the planet that God is going to take care of, and he's not going to let tribulation come into his life, and he's not going to allow him to be stuck out there on an old rocky place with prisoners like a common thief, murderer, surely it would be this beloved disciple. I mean, he's the one that Jesus is hanging on the cross, and his mother, Mary, is standing out there in front of him. And standing beside her is this man, John. And he looks at John, one of the last things he does, and he looks at John and said, behold, your mother. Behold, your son. In other words, I commit the care of my mother to you. No one else. You. He's got brothers. I don't care what that other church says. Jesus has half-brothers. Joseph and Mary had children. Read the scripture. Someone in that denomination was reading your scripture one day and came to me and said, I've been taught all my life that she never had any other children. And the Bible says, I said, yeah, the Bible says, sure it says that, because she did. But he didn't commit the care of his mother to them. He committed the care of his mother to John. Surely, Kenneth, that there's one person on the planet that is going to be shielded from any danger, shielded from any hurt, shielded from any inconvenience, shielded from any tribulation, trouble, trial, test, adversity, anxiety. Surely it will be John. I'm on the Isle of Patmos. Why in the world are you there? Why is John, the beloved, this great guy, this tremendous man, the one that, you know, everyone ran. You read John's account of that carefully. Peter standing outside, warming his hands by the fire. Read carefully John's account. It looks like to me John went in with him. Read it carefully. Surely he was there and didn't scatter and didn't run. And he's the one that will be shielded from any hurt, shielded from any danger, shield. But he's on the Isle of Patmos. Why? Why is he there? Well, it tells us in that scripture, for the Word of God. For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's there for the fulfilling. For one, I'll just tell you, he's there to finish out the Bible. This holy writ, this holy scripture that's going to come into being, and they're going to piece together, but they're going to find it. They're going to discover it because God has had it written by different men, and they're going to discover it, and they're going to put it together, and he's there for that reason to finish it. the testimony. He's there because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's about to get another revelation of Jesus that's higher than the one that he's already had. He's going to see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to see him as the Almighty God, the ruler when everything else is done and everything else has gone away and everything else is just laying flat and is no more. He's going to see the one that will yet be standing, the one that will be on the throne, the one, hallelujah, and he's not going to be able to do that. He's not going to be able to see that in a plush palace somewhere. And so the Lord lets him be cast out to the Isle of Patmos, an evil place, a terrible place. Watch Isaiah 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Boy, that all sounds really... Yes, I agree. Praise God, and I'm happy about that. And glory, hallelujah. Woo! Yeah. Watch. I formed the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. One translation said something like, I disrupt things. I cause those things to happen that cause you to be disrupted. Don't ever think that God created sin. He did not. He did not create sin. He created a man that was capable of disobeying him, which would create sin, if and when he did. But he did not create sin, but he will create some circumstances in your life. He will put a Patmos in your life. He will put a barren, rocky place in your path. He'll put you in a place that you think you're going to die. He'll put you in a place that you just know you're going to die. And hopefully, you'll get a revelation and an understanding sometime, and there will be parts of you that will die, because that's his whole desire. If I can get that junk out of you, if I can get that stuff out of your spirit, then we can work together. Then we can accomplish much. Then there are people out there that need me, that I can use you to reach them. Anybody understand? Anybody happy? Hallelujah. That this God is in your life. Hallelujah. And I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel His Spirit just hanging here. Hallelujah. The Lord do all these things. Now, the important piece. Verse 10 of Revelation. Sorry, I think, Vince, I put that in another place and then jumped around it anyway, didn't I? Tried to do my best. Tried to help you. But you're so good, you don't need my help. On the Isle of Patmos, your brother in tribulation. On the Isle of Patmos, everything going wrong. Deserted, rocky. Prisoners cast out, cast down, thrown out of society. Not accepted in the culture that he's a part of. There we are again. Man, there must be a theme around here in the Holy Ghost this morning. If you'd have been in, you that were in here in the lesson to Michael, Brother Michael taught about holiness, that's adverse culture. The world is not holy. Amen? And in order for you and I, listen, you weren't born. Even Ian's mother and father were serving God when he was born. But he wasn't born just with every little holy thought in his mind. They had to tell him no. And they had to teach him what it meant. If not, then right now you get a little, just get mad at me, and you'd flop down on the floor over here and throw some kind of crazy nutty fit. Wouldn't that be nice? 10-year-old, right? 11-year-old. 11. Get out here and just start, wouldn't that? Why doesn't he? Well, it's just not in him. Oh, sure, it was in him. It was in him when he was born. If you don't believe that, just go out in the world a little bit and look at some that have been left alone. They act like little angels, don't they? Fallen ones. They do. Amen. Leave them alone. Just don't help them. Don't. Well, nobody helped. Yes, they did too. Somebody, whether you know it or not, put some right and wrong in you. They did. But that doesn't make you holy and pure. Without, you've got stuff in you. I hate to tell you that. You know, I mean, I know. You thought you was Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay? I'm just kidding. Picking on you right now. No, just joking. No, no. No, you mean what I've been telling my wife all these years is not true? That I'm perfect? And I'm always right? No. I don't tell her that for one, but no. No. No, you and I have got things in us. It's contrary to God. It's contrary to the Lord. We weren't born thinking holy. Amen. And we didn't mature. You won't mature into thinking holy. The only way you'll mature into thinking holy is in the maturation process is that Jesus comes into your life and Jesus begins to teach you what holy is about. And Jesus begins to put you in places that you have to seek him and you have to cry out to him and you have to desire him because you are up against something that you cannot conquer. One man said, "I hold ages. Is ordained of God as men and women are sinful because if there's one thing that will teach you that you are human and you're going to deteriorate and you cannot conquer everything, it'll be old age. There'll be a day when the mind says, jump out of that chair, and everybody around you is watching you get up. And it sure didn't look like a jump to them. In your mind, this is what happened. And in their vision, this is kind of what happened. Your mind said jump. You did. Jump just looks different than it did at one time. I mean, jump, you know, it just, jump. Okay, I did. Really, I didn't notice. And as we get older, it'll teach us that we need God. We're going to meet something someday that we're not going to be able to cross. We're not going to be able to handle ourselves. Amen? And so, tells him why he's there. But verse 10, in the midst of all of this, Brother Patterson, in the midst of being rejected, it seems, in the midst of being thrown out of society, completely out of touch with the culture that he's in, completely out of touch with anybody. He's thrown out there with the nobodies and the people that have been rejected. And he could have been alone. Evidently, he was alone. They say there's a cave there today, and they've memorialized the thing. And there's a temple or something big church building looking thing made out of stone there on the island of Patmos that commemorates John receiving the revelation. He's out there. But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And here's the bottom line. If you and I don't learn to get in the Spirit, Brother Sergio, if you don't learn to get in the Spirit, You'll go through tough times, and that tough times will destroy you because you don't know how to get in the Spirit. In the Spirit, He's about to get the revelation throughout ages that will stand and give understanding of what will happen in the end time and when Jesus will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the Spirit, He's going to see what is happening in this day. In the Spirit, He's going to experience things, and suddenly the rocks are out of view. Suddenly his surroundings mean nothing. Suddenly the rejection of society means nothing whatsoever because he is in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, he begins instantly to hear things. When you get in the Spirit, you will begin to hear things. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard. Michael, I thought it was unique that you talked about hearing. Or not hearing, but being behind the voice, and you're past something, and you have to turn around. He hears a voice behind him. I don't think he's out in front of God. I don't think he's ahead of God. So I don't know where he's gotten in the Spirit, but somewhere inside of him, behind him, God is trying to talk to him, and he has to turn. He hears this voice. When you get in the Spirit, you will begin to hear the voice of God. And you'll begin to hear God talk to you. And you have to learn that voice. I can't hear him talk to me. Oh, don't say you can't hear him talk. But do what Samuel said. Lord, I don't, and do it a little differently because he heard a voice. He heard his name, but do it a little differently. Pray this. Lord, I don't think I'm hearing from you. But if your voice is speaking, then I need to understand it's your voice. And you might get surprised that he is talking to you. It just doesn't sound like you thought it would have. You see what it sounded to John? He probably thought, Ian, he was going to say, he was going to hear if Jesus spoke to him. Hey, John, man, it's good to see you again. Remember the Last Supper? Remember, you remember the story, yeah. And instead, look what it sounds like. It sounds like a great voice. It sounds like a trumpet. Something explodes inside behind him. And he's like, whoa, what is that? And that is the voice. It's the voice of the same one that he walked with. It's the voice of the same one that he saw crucified. It's the voice, amen, that he writes about. But it sounds different. And there are levels. When God puts you in tough places, the voice will sound differently. The voice will sound like something you've not heard before. Because he put you there for that reason. Amen. Stand up for a moment. We've reached the bobblehead service, portion of the service. Yeah, that's right. Lift your hands to Jesus. The Holy Ghost is not finished. I have just a little bit further we need to go. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Come on, let's connect with the Holy Ghost right now. Ha 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 ta haya rahasa. In the name of the Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 All right, you can be seated. Let me read through this really quickly now. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Here's your purpose, John. You're to write what you see. And the second thing will come when that voice is talking to you. He's showing you things, and you're going to see things. Amen. And now I send it to the seven churches in Asia. Jesus comes. He identifies himself. When you get in the Spirit, the identity of Jesus Christ will become apparent to you. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. Meaning that when this life ends, he's all there is. Amen. How many want a lot of him? Jeff Arnold made it famous. His little statement. Anybody ever see a hearse pulling a U-Haul? And then my wife and I are driving down the road in New York one day, and we just blew his theology apart because we saw an old Hurst pulling a U-Haul. You don't get to take your stuff, so you better invest in him more than you invest in this world.
Amen. You get him and he identifies himself. I am Alpha Omega. The identity comes. And purpose always follows identity. Always. Your purpose will never be known by you until you understand him. You have revelation of him. Who do men say that I am, Peter? Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias or one of the prophets of old, raised from the dead. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art blessed, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this, but the Father in heaven has revealed this, and I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Purpose comes. Amen. And then he tells them about his own purpose. He's going to Jerusalem to die and be raised again the third day. The purpose of God will always be revealed after the identity of God comes. That's why if you don't get understanding of really who Jesus is, you'll spend all your money trying to feed the poor and let them go to hell but not hungry. I'm not saying you don't need to feed the poor, but the first priority of the church is not feeding the poor. The first priority of the church is to save the lost. But if you don't understand Jesus and who he is, then you'll spend all of your time trying to feed the poor and let them die and be lost, but hey, they're full. They're comfortable on earth, but they'll burn forever. Come on, being poor does not give you a ticket into heaven. Being rich doesn't, but being poor doesn't either. We have got to save the lost. Amen. But without the identity being in the right place and the understanding, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did he feed the poor while he was here? He absolutely did. He fed everybody. But that's not why he came. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Listen, folks. He set an environment in place. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. It rains on the just and the unjust. You can plant corn. You can plant a garden. You can learn to feed yourselves. And the environment he put us in will produce food. That's not why he came, to make a different environment as far as a natural environment. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's so important, because if you think he came for another reason, then your understanding of him is out of sort. It's off kilter. It's out of center. And because of that, you will be trying to fulfill a purpose that is not his purpose. You'll only get his purpose after you understand who he is. So if there's a prayer request that ought to be in your life, it is, show me, Lord, who you are. I need to know who he is, Mallory, or I don't know his purpose. I'll spend all my time trying to do things that really are not his purpose. They're my purpose. Okay? When I say about our purpose, I'm talking about the purpose that God has for you. That he said, write and identify, communicate what you see. John said, I turned to see the voice. I've always felt like that was pretty interesting. I think he meant I turned to see where the voice was coming from, but that's not what he said. How do you turn to see a voice? Do you ever see a voice? I've heard a voice. I see the origin of the voice, but but it was so real to him. I will tell you that when God speaks to you, it will be so real that you'll be looking for the voice. You'll be looking for that voice, and you'll see it when God is speaking to you if you're in the Spirit. Amen. We need to get in the Spirit. He turned to see, saw the golden candlesticks, and he got in a different realm of revelation. And then his GPS kicked in, his God positioning service kicked in, because he saw Jesus. And he saw where Jesus positions himself. I mean, you thought GPS, we came up with that, huh? Scripture came up with that one. God position. You know where Jesus is at? He's in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. You know what the seven golden candlesticks are? They're the seven churches of Asia. You know where Jesus is at? He's in the midst of the church. You want to find where Jesus is at? He's in the midst of the church. He finds where Jesus is at, and he also finds out who he is, the location of Jesus. He sees his garments. He sees, verse 14, he sees his hair, his eyes. They're studying all that, his feet, and verse 15, his feet, and then his voice, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his different things down through here. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." Amen. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. His identity is again established. And watch verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter. Purpose followed identity. And it always does. So this morning, I come to propel us into his spirit. Your Patmos, your place of rockiness, of barrenness, of not knowing what tomorrow holds, of being rejected, of stepping out of society, and even as God leads you to step a little further, it will only be as effective as you allow it to drive you to be in the Spirit. If all you get from your Patmos is you get a revelation, all right, but it's a greater revelation, Brother Jamie, of how to suck your thumb at a different angle, of how to whine at a different pitch, of how to complain, right, with a different voice. If that's all you get out of your Patmos, then your Patmos has been totally ineffective. Your Patmos of getting in a place where you do not have any other hope is to drive you into the Spirit, into the Spirit, into his presence. So you'll get in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, you get revelation of him, you hear his voice, and you see and understand your purpose in him. Amen. How many want your purpose? How many want to know God's purpose for yourself? In the Spirit. Very quickly, Jesus answered John 3:3 and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see." Notice, he cannot see. We're not talking about getting into it. We're not talking about entering into a door here or going into something. We're talking about seeing it. Until you're born again, you cannot see this thing. It makes no sense to you. You can't see it. But when you're born again, you can see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So now we're talking about entering, and he gets a little more specific. There's water and there's Spirit involved upon entering into the kingdom of God. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now we're going from that. We're going to go from that to this. Revelation chapter 22, say, man, Pastor, you just bailed out of the new birth, and not quite. Chapter 22, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse number 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right. Ooh, did you hear that? That they may have the right to eat of the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Now, we're going from the flaming sworded cherubim guarding the tree of life, okay? Can't get close. You do, you're toast, right? To a place where it is freely, it's planted right in the street. You can,
It's for the healing of the nations. It's there to take. And if you have kept his commandments, you have the right to partake of it anytime. We're going from that to this, all right? So there's a space we got to get to in here. Now, I read to you John 3:3 and verse 5. Now, John, let's go back to John and chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Watch, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Okay, so he's laying a foundation here. Jump to John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he. I don't think I have that one. That's fine. That's far enough to go. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Amen. After after his resurrection. Now, so we're going from this to that. Patmos helps us along. Patmos experiences, dry experiences, places in our life, crisis, hospital visits, and your nurse's happens to be Brother Bradley. Whatever they are, tough times, difficult times, going through difficult times with family and things. And God doesn't, he's not the author of that, but he will use that to help us and drive us to his presence. Things happening at work, things happening between in our families, things happening with our money, things happening in our country, things happening all around us. These are Patmos experiences that propel us into, first of all, if you've never received it, into the new birth, the baptism of water and the baptism of spirit. Amen. That's the new birth, and it propels you into that. And then as you grow and as you move forward, you will experience those desert places again, and those places propel you into the Spirit so you get a revelation of him. Listen, if all you've ever done, I hate to say it like that because this is bigger than that. If where you're at in God is you have been born again and you've learned a little bit, you've learned some things, you've grown a little, you know some things about God, but that, if that's where you're at, let me help you today and tell you that there's so much more. There's so much more to go. There's so much more to grow. Eli is laying back there. We've watched Eli go from being this big to the little boy that runs around the church and is just full of life and can run around. He's talking now. Well, I mean, you guys need to send him to college, you know. Enroll him next camp, next semester. Enroll him at Penn State. That way you have a student rep there. You don't have to worry about Sergio or Kali, the one. Send him in there to UPAC to get funding and all of that stuff. Well, how silly is that? It's totally silly. It just doesn't make any sense. But I mean, he's born. He's a human. He's a young man. A boy. You know, send him. No, it doesn't make any sense. Naturally, we see that. Spiritually, we don't see that. Spiritually, we receive the Holy Ghost. We are born again, so we're ready to walk on water. We're ready to go call the world. We're ready to preach. We're ready to do all these things. We have arrived. We know everything there is about God, and in reality, we are a baby. Let's stand. I want to take us somewhere right now. Coming to the piano, Jeremy. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on, the Spirit is here. We got to go into the Spirit. We've got to receive the Holy Ghost. And in case you say, I already did, the apostles show us in the book of Acts, everybody there has the Holy Ghost in this one setting, and they say a prayer, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, no, they already have it. Uh-huh, they got it again, so to speak. They were refreshed and renewed and filled up. If you haven't been filled up in a while. Now here's filled up. The joy of the Lord starts running inside you. You lose that cynicism that you've gotten. Come on, the Holy Ghost will talk to you right now. You lose that fear.
of people that you might bring to God, and they might think you're crazy. They already do, most likely. That's all right. You lose all that. When you're a new convert, man, this thing's so good. Ow, this thing's so good. This thing, man, is the greatest thing in the world. I'm telling you what, you ought to come to our church because it's the greatest church in the world. I'm telling you, when you lose that, you need to be renewed. You need to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. You need to get in the Spirit. Amen. When the dry desert place is the overriding thing that you think about, talk about, feel, it's time to get in the Spirit. It's time to get in the Spirit. It's time to get in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, Jesus, praise God. In the name of the Lord, hallelujah. It's time to get in the Spirit. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, it's not some great big thing. You just begin to yield to the Lord. Jesus, I love you. Just begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, you pray. You're the mama. You pray. You birth them. But they just receive God. If the dryness has taken over, if that's what consumes your mind, the fact of what you don't have, and the things, the troubled times that you've walked through, and the difficulties, if that consumes your mind, come on, you need to be filled afresh with His Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, there's nothing guarding the tree of life right now. Hallelujah. If you thirst, it said, you could receive it. I know I jumped around and I skipped some things I had to because of time. But there is now that thing of hungering. Michael said it well early. That thing of thirsting. Jesus said thirst. And I'm thirsty for a fresh drink, Lord. I'm thirsty to have the excitement of God back in me. I'm thirsty, Lord, just to at least have peace in this time of not knowing what's happening. I'm thirsty for your voice. I'm thirsty. So if you're thirsty today, come. As he begins to sing, just begin to worship God. Find somebody that you trust if you need help praying. Hallelujah. Be sensitive to the Lord, church.